Let's look at Habakkuk for the last time. We've been going through that little prophet. It's one of the shorter ones of the little prophets. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigionoth. I'm not sure about Shigionoth, but I think it has something to do with music and singing and worship. Okay? Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear, O Lord. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. That's a good prayer for us, isn't it? In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. Now we're jumping down to the end of the chapter. We will not read the whole chapter, but I will comment on it. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. You know what that is? God had told in the first chapter what God was going to do, send the Babylonians, that ruthless, barbarian country, to sweep over them. That didn't sound very good. For the people to arise who will invade us. Yeah, I can understand his distress. But here's the end of the chapter. It says it's a prayer, okay? And here's where we arrive at the final destination in this whole process of Habakkuk. This is where he is now. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we've kind of followed a spiritual journey for Habakkuk. And as I have said to you, and I believe it all the more I look at it, that this is a very contemporary book. With what happened this week, friends, just mark it down. That is not the end. We're going to hear some more from ISIS, and God only knows if it'll come to America. But this is a growing thing. I tell you, the enemy's having a field day. And if ever we needed the message of Habakkuk, we need it now, right now. Last time I suggested that Habakkuk's example could be a good model for us when faced with dark times. Yes, if you think about it, the prophet has come a long way spiritually from his desperate crying out to God in chapter 1 to his song of rejoicing in chapter 3. The process is very evident. It starts with Habakkuk in intense intercession in the opening. Then he was found pondering God's ways, and then affirming God's will. And in this whole process, the circumstances did not change, but he changed. Don't miss that point. That's surely what's, I think, most important to God. Desperate days are not peculiar to Habakkuk. My goodness. Maybe you personally have already been there. I'm not sure. Maybe. Or it might be that that's what we will face down the road. With what's happening in our world and what happened this Friday, I have every anticipation that it's not going to get better. When those days came, Habakkuk determined that he would take a position of waiting and watching, like that watchman on the walls of Jerusalem. By a word from the Lord, Habakkuk learned the secret of surviving in desperate days. And we learned that in chapter 2. It's that one key phrase, "The just shall live by faith." That's the key. So when we think about it, I will be the first to say that it's not an easy road. I remember the Melody Four Quartet, they used to sing, "It's not an easy road." Well, it's not. It's not an easy road to climb up from the valley of confusion and frustration and fear. That's not an easy climb. But the path of faith and trust is the ultimate solution. And that's what we must learn from Habakkuk. In the process, we may well experience fear and trembling, as he did. You know, this was an awesome thing. This is a conversation with God. He's talking with God about things that are going to happen. And when he finds out, my goodness, it just shakes him to the very core of his being. So he's trembling. In the process, we may well experience fear and trembling like he did as the Lord reveals himself to us. You'll see that in verse 16 of chapter 3. The response to all was revealed to him. The response to all that was revealed to him comes in the third chapter. It's entitled, A Prayer of Habakkuk Upon Shigionoth. It was a prayer accompanied by music, perhaps. Not mournful, not joyful, but expressive of profound and strong emotion. The prophet was undoubtedly moved to the very depths of his being with conflicting emotions, but predominantly in the end, faith and triumph. Faith has brought him thus far. Chapter 3, that faith has brought him there. And faith will cause you to triumph. That's our point if we learn from it. When in desperate times, it's the time for faith to be active. Okay? The whole chapter is a record of the prophet's prayer. If you look at chapter 3, there's praise for the power of God. There's praise for the purpose of God. There's ultimately praise for the faith in God. Okay? So it's a great chapter. And as we observe, the prayer is more than petition because it includes praise, thanksgiving, recollection, and adoration. The great prayers of the Bible are those men who reminded God of what he had done in the past. And that's essentially what happens in this chapter. We didn't read that center part, but that's what's there. This then is surely a great prayer. In its beginning, it's a prayer psalm that may have been used in the temple worship in Jerusalem. You'll note that the prophet is no longer arguing with the Lord. It's been resolved now, so there's no more debate going on. You'll note the prophet is no longer arguing, yes, but rather breaks forth in praise and worship. So obviously something has happened. Something has happened. Praise God. Maybe you've experienced that. In verse 2, he prayed because he had heard God speak. He says, I have heard the report about thee, and I fear. He's trembling. There's a sense of awe. When we understand the will of God, we should be motivated to pray. Yes, Habakkuk has heard and now is in a state of total submission to God. Hearing God's word is what generates faith in the heart of his child. Isn't that true? That's what Romans says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God and prayer are inseparable, lest praying becomes zeal without knowledge. D.L. Moody tells it once, he said, I used to think I should close my Bible and pray for faith, but I came to see that it was in studying the word that I get faith. Yes. Habakkuk prayed because he was overwhelmed with God's splendor. The NIV says, I stand in awe of your deeds. Oh, we could sing that song. I stand in awe of you. Yes. Yeah. He has seen a vision of the greatness of God recorded in the verses 3 to 15. Something that had such a powerful effect upon the prophet. Listen how it affected him. I pointed out verse 16 where he says, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. Wow. This is so awesome. I don't know how you can really express it fully. We should take note that the saints of the Bible experience similar reactions. It's an awesome thing to meet with God, friends. Communion with God and talk to God and know God's heart. Wow. You can just think of the different ones. Moses, it says, trembled at Mount Sinai. Joshua met the Lord in the promised land and fell on his face. Okay? Daniel became exhausted and ill after seeing visions. The three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration fell face down to the ground. John on the Isle of Patmos fell at his feet as a dead man. God is awesome. I said, God is awesome. He is awesome. Do you know what the basic problem is? Look, God certainly has the ability to reveal himself to us, for he can do anything. God can do anything. The problem is, can God find somebody who is ready to meet him? That's the problem. God's not the problem. We're the problem. Can he find anyone who is ready to meet him? I hardly believe that he will do that to superficial saints who may be only looking for some new experience, quote unquote, that will just kind of stimulate them and elevate them. No, he says, but on this one will I look, says the Lord, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Habakkuk prayed because he wanted God's work to succeed. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 5, he hears God saying, I am doing, present tense, I am doing something in your days. In other words, God's got something going. And I have to believe that this morning, friends, in spite of how chaotic things look in our world and how bad the future may appear to be. God is doing something, and with that, I am assured. Praise God. So let me ask you, do you believe that? Amid all the chaos and turmoil of our times, do you believe God is up to something? I do. I do. Habakkuk believed that and prayed for its success. What God was doing wasn't exactly the work that Habakkuk would have chosen. That's true. But he accepted God's plan and prayed, thy will be done. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. What a prayer. Good prayer for Eden Prairie Assembly, isn't it? The Hebrew word has a thought, preserve or keep alive. Yeah, we need to keep alive. The Assemblies of God needs to keep alive. God's church needs to keep alive. Is that a word that we need to pray in this hour? Surely. The vision that came is in the verses 3 to 15, and I'll just briefly touch on that section because it's kind of a review of the great things that God has done, okay? So from this point on, Habakkuk is reminding the Lord of all the great works that he has done for God's people. Sometimes it is good to look back. I said, sometimes it is good to look back. Yes. Okay. In this song, verses 3 to 5, Habakkuk seems to be retracing the march of Israel from Sinai to the promised land. If, as some say, that Mount Paran is another name for the entire Sinai Peninsula, then he starts at that point where Israel was established as a unique nation. Do you remember that? That was where they became identified as a nation, okay? Everything about this stanza speaks to the glory of God. He is called the Holy One, a name Isaiah used some 30 times. Think of it. Verses 6 to 7, the Lord stood and surveyed the earth. That's an interesting observation. Can you see? Can you just kind of picture that? The Lord looking things over. And I believe he is today, even now. God calmly measured the earth as a sign he possessed it. To measure something is an indication that it's yours and you can do with it what you please. It's also a preliminary step to action, as though the Lord was surveying the situation and esteeming how much it would take to execute his wrath on the nations. In verses 8 to 15, how God marched in victory. And here we can see Israel as they marched through the Red Sea. The various battles fought in the march toward the promised land. In verse 10, we have the victory of Deborah and Barak. In verse 11, the victory of Joshua when the sun stood still. It's not just clear what historical event is referred to in verses 13 to 15, but it does have to do with the victory of God, God's anointed nation, for they were a holy people to the Lord. This then follows the great passage, and this is praise of because of faith in God. It expresses Habakkuk's final resolve, and I like this. Oh, wow, what a journey. I can hardly imagine, but it's something that has just so deeply stirred my own soul. That's why I just feel like Habakkuk is the word for today. Yes, it expresses Habakkuk's final resolve. He has come a long ways in his spiritual journey. It is his final affirmation of the will of God. It is one of the greatest confessions of faith found anywhere in Scripture. I just pause there for a moment because I remember reading a story about Benjamin Franklin. He was in Paris in some kind of a gathering of course, high people, high in government and so forth. And so he told me, he said, I've got something I would like to read to you. So he just proceeded to read this. And after he's done, they just clapped their hands and they were excited. My, that's wonderful. Where did you get that? And Ben Franklin said, in the Bible, in the book of Habakkuk. And they were just blown away. Yeah, okay. You need to put these verses up in your bathroom mirror where you'll see them every day, lest you get bogged down by our circumstances today. It'd be a good idea. Take these last verses, put them on your mirror so you can look at them every day. What the prophet says here is in the full knowledge. He's saying this in the full knowledge of the awesome and dark days that are just ahead. The NIV says in verse 16, I will wait patiently on the Lord. Yeah, we saw that at the beginning of chapter 2 where he decided to take his place like a watchman on the wall to wait and watch. And here he's saying it again, I will wait patiently on the Lord. Don't miss that. If he had depended on his feelings, he would never have made this great confession of faith, I tell you. When he looked within, he saw himself trembling with fear. And when he looked around, he saw everything about to fall apart. But when he looked up by faith, he saw God. Yes, and all his fears vanished. Yes, to walk by faith is to focus on the greatness and the glory of God. Remember that. Habakkuk couldn't wait. He could wait quietly because he knew that God was at work in the world. And he had prayed that God's work would be kept alive and strong. So no matter what we see, no matter how we feel, we must depend upon God and his promises and not allow ourselves to have a meltdown. I have a feeling, friends, I'm not a prophet and I'm not even the son of a prophet. But anyhow, I have a feeling with what's coming in our world, a lot of people are going to have a meltdown. You better believe it. Verses 17 and 18, I will exult in the Lord. Not exalt, exult. It's kind of hard to pronounce that difference with the U and the A, but the words mean two different things. If I exalt, then I'm giving honor and praise to someone. If I exalt, then that's me rejoicing and giving praise and honor to God. So that's what he's saying. See, what a tremendous change. In chapter 1, we saw how he screamed at God, so desperate. Now here he says, I will exult. I will just rejoice in the Lord. That's what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord. Yes, and again I say rejoice. So the Babylonians will make havoc of the land. There will be little to sing about, humanly speaking. But our surroundings are not the source of our joy and peace. Hallelujah. Our surroundings are not the source of our joy and peace. We see a world all around us scrambling every day. They're so busy trying to find joy and peace. And it's not there. Not there. Habakkuk is doing what Paul commanded. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord, not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. Yes, that's the key when all else is going down. Verse 19, he's saying, I will rely on the Lord. Sure, my legs are shaking, my heart is pounding, but I have found a safe place, and it's in the Lord. Because of faith in the Lord, I am able to bound up the mountain like a deer. He's able to make me sure-footed as a deer, to have solid footing. Praise God. Father, we're so thankful for the message of Habakkuk. It has such a powerful message for us in the experience of Habakkuk the prophet. I pray you'll help us, Lord. You've already told us what the last days would be like. And they will be anything but peaceful. So we are seeing that mounting with every passing day. What happened on Friday was just incredible. It's obvious the devil's at work. What else can we say about people who can just so merciless, without any hesitation, just slaughter people right and left? It has to be because of the evil one. But Lord, in spite of the fact that our days will become very tumultuous, chaotic, we as God's people know the source of our joy and of our hope and our peace. And I pray that you will help us, Lord, that we will learn the lesson of Habakkuk. It probably will happen on the international and national level, but it can also happen on the individual level. Sometimes we can be going along through life in such a peaceful mode, and then all of a sudden everything is turned upside down and life becomes chaotic. God, when that happens, then we need the lesson of Habakkuk. We need to take our stand and wait and watch till God speaks. And then we need to grasp hold of the principle that he has given us, that we don't live by feelings, we don't live by guesswork, we don't live by just our own intelligence, but the just shall live by faith. That's the key. So I pray you will impress that upon our hearts. Help us, Lord, that your word will find its lodging place within our hearts. So bless your people today, Father. You know what our needs are. You know what each individual is going through even now. So help us. May we as a church stand strong. Yes, like Paul says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand. Oh, God, help us. Give us that strength and power. Bless today. Bless our dear pastor as he brings his word on the second and third service and shares the word of the Lord. I pray your blessing and anointing upon him. And I pray that this day we may give honor and glory to you. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.